One of the things that slows down clearing out and packing up is looking at photographs. Goodness, we have discovered, Heather and I have discovered photographs that we'd totally forgotten about, and there are these two wee young things, and you think, who's that? And you look at three wee girls, and then one of them arrives with their three wee children, and you think, goodness me, how did that happen? What happened in all those years? We don't think we change. But as they say, the camera doesn't lie. And so there might be the odd grey hair that isn't in some of those photographs. We change. For some reason, we don't really expect to change, and it comes as a bit of a shock when we see those photographs and we realise we have changed. So a couple of questions for myself and for you this morning is, how have you changed? Now, you may want to talk about and all those other things, but there may be more important things. How have you changed? How have you changed spiritually? How have you changed in your relationship with God? It would be wonderful if you could go back and see a photograph, some sort of a record of that relationship with your Heavenly Father a year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years ago, whatever it is, and then look at a photograph of today and see, Lord, how have I changed? How have you changed spiritually? The writer to the Hebrews is continually calling his hearers to pay attention, to obey, and to change. He's not content to let his hearers just stay as they are. He calls them to change. And the beginning of this little passage that Jeff just read for us, there are these startling words. We have much to say about this, much to say, that is, about Jesus being a high priest. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Can you imagine reading that? I'd like to explain this more to you, but you're slow learners. No point. Goodness. And yet, it is so true for us. He goes on to say, some of you should have been teachers by now, but instead you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths. You need milk, not solid food. And the suggestion is, you haven't changed. It'd be like going to Granny's house, opening the cupboard door, marking the edge, and realizing in the past 10 years you haven't changed. And I suspect if that had happened, my granny would have whisked me off to get something done about it, get him checked out. But here we are in this relationship with God. This vitally important relationship. This is where we have our life. This is where we have our being. And somehow, we don't get concerned when we don't grow. We just pass it off. It's just the way it is. Peter, when he writes to the early church, says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Milk has its right place. Peter says, that's what you start with. Crave that spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Milk is the appropriate nutrition for an infant. But as that child grows, it changes. You can't stay on milk indefinitely. And that's the issue here. These people to whom the Hebrews has written just haven't progressed, haven't grown, haven't moved on, haven't matured, haven't developed in their faith. They're just the same. Milk is important. bit like laying that foundation. It's important that we have these foundations. And the writer actually lists some of those foundations and talks about repentance, this repentance from acts that lead to death, this turning away from our sinfulness. And the other flip side of that is turning in faith to God. So we turn away from our sinfulness and we turn towards God, repentance and faith working together. Instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. All these things are basic things that we need to get right. It's like the milk that we needed to start off with, like the foundations that are being laid. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. We've all seen those developments, maybe of houses or apartments that were started, but for some reason just never got finished. Maybe you've been on holiday somewhere and there are just those areas of foundations that are there, but nothing's ever happened to them. Foundations laid, but nothing ever built on them. Milk drunk, but no good diet to build upon that. That's the issue for these folks. They're not moving on. It's not that they're playing down or trying to forget these foundations, this milk as an essential part of our diet, but it's building on these things. It's growing in these things. And the writer talks about our constant use. Constant use so that we can discern, we can know what is good and what's evil. And boy, do we need that in these days. We live in a world where fake news has all of a sudden just become a thing. I would imagine 5-10 years ago, didn't really talk about it. It really is a thing. Conspiracy theories all around us. The whole growth in artificial intelligence. I was listening to somebody in the radios this week who said, you know what, artificial intelligence is no match for natural stupidity. probably right. But this growth in artificial intelligence, which almost thinks ahead of us, we need to be people who can discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And it's getting harder to do. Apparently, if you work in a bank, you get so used to dealing with genuine banknotes, the feel of them, the look of them, that when you actually touch a forgery, just a little alarm bell starts to ring because it just doesn't feel right. You're so used to handling the real thing that when you come across something as a forgery, it just doesn't feel right. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about here. He's saying this constant use of scriptures, this constant use of worship and of praise and of prayer, just building on those foundations, this constant use means that when something wrong comes along, we just, alarm bells ring. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound right. Constant use. We train ourselves to discern good from evil. And that's why we have Bible reading. We encourage people to read their Bibles, not to put in some time during your day. Most of your days are busy. But so that by constant use of the scriptures, you will be able to discern good and evil. That's why we encourage you to be part of a small group. Whether it's the summer connections where people come together to talk about what they're reading day by day to help us discern good from evil. Small groups, fellowships, where we listen to God's word. We listen to God's word speaking to us and then we're obedient to it. We listen, we obey, and we repeat. We listen, we obey, and we repeat. This constant use helps us to distinguish good from evil. And so the writer to the Hebrews talks passionately about this need for growth. There's always the possibility, as you read through later on in this passage, you'll find this, that there's no growth because there hasn't been a birth in the first place. The writer talks about the possibility of people who look the part and yet have never really come to that saving faith. Never really experienced the grace of God in their lives. Never responded to what Jesus Christ has done for them. And so there's no growth because there hasn't, first of all, been birth. We will never grow in our Christian lives unless we have been born again. That's where it starts. And then we move into that spiritual milk and moving on into a stronger diet. And we grow in our faith. We develop in our faith. We mature in our faith. And if God had a kitchen cupboard door, he'd be marking it off on the edge, watching you grow. The writer goes on to say later on in this chapter 6 that, how do you know that God is at work in your life? Your life has changed and there are works of love just flowing out of your life. One of the exciting things about this congregation is lives that are changed, that shows itself in works of love. And that's exciting to see, because that means God's at work. That means that those lives have been transformed and are growing and developing and maturing day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. So here are my questions to you and to me. What is the evidence in your life that God is at work in you? If we lived somewhere where you could be arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? Would there be enough evidence about your life for someone to say, yeah, that's the evidence, you're guilty? What's the evidence in your life, in my life, that God is at work? And how are you growing spiritually? Two great questions that challenge me and hopefully challenge each of us. What's the evidence that God's at work in your life? And how are you growing? We'll take a moment just to be still before God and allow him to speak into those questions. Let's be still before God. Lord, we recognize that we are not the people that we want to be. Never mind the people that you call us to be. So forgive us. We pray for our complacency, for our apathy. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would so work in us that we would not rest until we see that evidence of God's work in us. Until we can look at each other and encourage each other as we see that growth, that change. Lord, in these days, as we are confounded by so many claims of truth, Point us to Jesus, we pray. The one who is the way, the life, and the truth. And in him, may we grow, mature, and develop. And also that others may see and know your grace. And we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.